Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 5 weekly podcasts: Dumb Dumbs and Dragons, Blood and Syrup, The Mythos Mysteries, Warhammer 40,000, The Valentine Heresy, and Curse Code and Crown, as well as 3 event podcasts with miniseries releases scheduled at random intervals: Dumb Scum and Villainy, One Shots, and the bad movie review show, Garbage Town the Movie Podcast. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dumb Dumbs and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. That's D-U-M-B. D-U-M-B-D-I-C-E. One more time for the mortals in the back. redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. Get your merchandise today.
Welcome back to Dumb Dumbs and Dragons, where improvisers who've never role-played before journey into the world of Dungeons and Dragons. I am the Grand Wizard Bukake, your host. After the completion of their quest, our heroes have been rocked by news of the death of Juniper. Reginald and Quinny sent the Horde back to their hellscape and found a planeswalker to bring them to hell itself. Meanwhile, Juniper, damned to hell in a surprise twist, joined Farthole's resistance movement. Can our heroes survive fighting Manny in the circle of hell he lords over? Find out next on Dumb Dumbs and Dragons!
Once upon a time, in Old West Faerun, once this land must have been fertile. There must have been trees and grass and all manner of living creatures. But that time has come and gone. Now it's just a dusty shithole with a burning hot sun high in the sky. A wind that is in equal parts warm and somehow gritty. That just manages to become the worst part of coming home from the beach. Just everywhere all the time. A land of desperate people and desperate times, and admittedly a few rays of sunshine, metaphorical ones. There's a lot of literal sun, as we've established. But it's a much different land than the one that we know, at least some of us. That said, it's also a land of opportunity. It's a land of desperate people looking for second chances. And Sheriff Quinny, today might just be that day, because after some time being the sheriff of sorts of the town of Tomb Slab, you might have finally found your ticket out of here. Get that heavy price off your head that you've been keeping tucked carefully under your cowboy hat. Because out here in the blasted desert amongst the cow skulls and tumbleweeds and bandits and criminals, you found Red Reggie Tingler, the son of the meanest son of a bitch Old West Faerun has ever seen, which is true of many mean son of a bitches, but this, you know, everyone is the worst one until the next one. And remarkably, you found Red Reggie Tingler unarmed, kind of burnt up, weirdly soggy, and in the middle of the desert, which to you sounds like a pretty fucking good meal ticket. You might just be able to buy your way out of this town after all. You'll just need to convince your deputy that it's worth turning him back over to the bad guys. But you can deal with that soon. She's a little ways back. You're on your own as you approach him on your pony. And he looks up and he looks around a bit confused. Sheriff Quinney, what do you look like in this realm?
Sheriff Quinney wears a long coat. He's still a halfling, so it's a long coat on him. So he's got his duster. I think in keeping with his usual attitude of being kind of like a too cool guy, he's got a black hat on, but he's got his sheriff badge prominently displayed, black vest, a white shirt, white cotton shirt under that, black slacks and brown leather chaps, like riding chaps.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And I assume pistol on your hip?
Yep.
Cool.
A revolver that is oddly like tinged blue.
Mm-hmm.
With some kind of sort of like, you know, like Jack Frost, the lures that he like draws on your window kind of thing. It's that mm-hmm. kind of like frost drawing on the grip, on the handle of of the pistol.
It's kind of like etched in.
Revolver. Yeah, etched in, yeah.
Nice. All right, so as we established in our epilogue from quite some time ago, Butthole, you awoke in this desert wet and confused because you assumed you'd be back in hell. But you found a hell of a whole different sort. And Quinny, who's just ridden up mysteriously with both of his eyes, but that same beautiful grin, but also your friendship scar is not there, which is a little concerning, has just informed you you're an old West Faerun.
Wait a second. So Quinny, like, did you die too? Because I really wanted to get past the Kraken. Just, it's like, me a hero. You're going to do great. How's Akkad doing? Where did you get that hat?
Boy, Reggie, it sounds like you have quite a story to tell, don't you, friend?
Wait, with that, you clap the shackles on him.
Yeah. Why don't you come on back to the station with me and you can tell that story behind a comfortable set of bars?
Well, I feel like we're getting off to the wrong foot here. My name's Butthole. I'm the king of Akkad. Yeah, and the leader of House Farch. And you are my court jester, so I don't know why you're wearing this outfit. I mean, listen, I'm embarrassed that apparently I died saving you and came all the way here to heaven. But just like I thought, heaven is too hot, I'm very wet, and it sucks here. So what can we do to just go to hell?
You are manacled as you're saying this, and then a lead is drawn... rope lead is drawn from your manacles up to and onto Quinny's saddle, and he ties it around that like weird like knotted thing at the front of the saddle. I'm sorry, everyone
knob.
Who knows what that is.
An old saddle knob.
Yeah, and Quinny just says, "I bet you'd like that, me, your jester." Well, all right, come on, let's do some walking while we're talking, and I'll just like get the horse to kind of.
What's the name of your horse?
Goblin Junior.
Great. So the horse is like, snarf, begins to happily clip-clop away. Butthole, as confusing as this is for you, you're also so fucking rough right now. You think you're dead, but being dead hurts a lot more than you thought. Your skin is burnt with acid. And I mean, admittedly, you've been burnt up before, so like, you get this but your armor's gone. Your equipment is gone. You're just like basically wearing like burnt up undergarments. I imagine you have like a singlet and I know. Does Butthole ever wear underwear? Or is he just like let him fly free? I worry with all the armor and the clankiness that you know could really.
Yeah. See, I feel like he'd have to wear underwear, otherwise his twig and berries could get caught and yanked around by metal.
You want to clip something? Yeah.
I think what you're probably seeing in the desert is just. Like melted pieces of armor just fall. Like if you pan over the ground behind him. There's just different plates of mail that just fall off. And then I feel like he'd end up almost in one of those like raggedy underwear things that you see in like, it's like a Breaking Bad scenario. He's right. Bryan okay. Cranstoning. It's torn. It's not a good look for him.
Yeah.
Great. So with that, with Goblin Jr. Happily pulling the way, you begin the long, slow trek. And as is the way in all great Westerns, the camera cuts to a long shot of the frontier, the plains, as you know, there are flat cliffs in the distance and blazing sun overhead. Single tumbleweed blows past as we watch your silhouettes. And in front of us on the screen, the title hits to the sound of a wow, 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 but an off-brand one that we can afford.
Yeah.
Red, Dumb, Redemption. That's mostly just for you, the listening and viewing audience. The characters don't see it because it doesn't exist in their world.
Oh, it's really weird that this world has giant words sometimes.
Man, he's so delirious. mixing my metaphors entirely, Ryan, you can think of this long walk as sort of like Ash's shuffle at the beginning of Army of Darkness, where it's like you're falling through a portal, you're being dragged along. Last thing you remember is like the joy of kind of the ecstasy of all of the beans exploding and kind of the
I nailed it. It was great.
What do you think's running through Butthole's head as he's being pulled along? Because I think you pretty quickly realize that
he's
in no mood to talk. Also, I think you've got some like shit to sort because like your mom just died. You like sacrificed yourself for your friends because you lost all purpose. Like, a lot of shit's happened. Also, chronologically, I should point out that this is a while ago in our chronology. This is
This
literally once upon months. A time. This
is, yeah,
yeah,
I imagine he probably put together because he's not. I mean, he's dumb, but he's not stupid. So, he'd probably put together over the walk. He has seen multiple dimensions. Clearly, this isn't heaven because in Butthole's world, heaven has harps and clouds, and it's really boring because everyone's sober and no one makes out, which means like. Or why even talk to someone if you don't get to say hello? So I don't think he'd put together much more than that, but he'd be like, okay, new dimension. I'm a train wreck, but primary goal is like, get back to his world. Like, I feel like he doesn't have, because for him, I think he'd be like Alan being confused about what world to be on is still very recent for him. Mm-hmm. And he has none of that confusion. He's like, this, everything's hot. It stinks already. I don't like this. Quinny is still kind of cute though. So like, maybe if he can get this Quinny to go with him, like there could be like a love connection Quinny that he doesn't have to like,
you get like a Menage a Quinn maybe.
Yeah, well, also, like, he doesn't have to risk a friendship. Like, this could be a different Quinny where he could, like, really take a chance.
Oh, my God. And I miss Butthole so much.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Butthole Farch. Oh
I God. Feel like he's almost oblivious to the fact that he's chained and tied to the horse. Like, he's managed to convince himself that this is just a walk with a friend.
All right, yeah. Fair enough. As sweet viewers and listeners and cast, obviously, these characters have existed in Old West Faerun for a while, so there will be things on their minds as well that will be gradually unfolding as we go. On that note, Tyler, the Tingly Boys, the gang that is one of the many who have been harassing you for a while. Admittedly. They haven't found Tombslab. You've been laying low as sheriff of Tombslab, so that's been pretty great. You know that they've been sighted nearby. They're definitely in the area, in the vicinity, which has been has become quite a bit of a point of concern and contention. Now, your deputy is a bit more of a law and order type who really wants the best for Tombslab. She admittedly wasn't ever an official part of the sheriff's office, but kind of became an inadvertent deputy when the sheriff disappeared and was just there in town and greeted you warmly as a sheriff when you arrived. So she might not be as into the idea of giving a notorious outlaw back to his own gang to curry favor. How do you think you're going to try and spin this to your deputy?
I think I'm going to appeal to her pragmatic side. I think I'm going to attempt to convince her that we can't, you know, we're too small time to to take the tingly boys down head on. And with this bargaining chip, we can perhaps come to a more amenable agreement.
Very cool. Love it.
Yeah.
Very Western. I like it. Amazing. So you're running through this plan as you kind of move into sort of one of those low-lying canyons where you've got kind of the large flat-topped rock formations on either side. Again, not like a proper canyon, but just enough that there's a bit of shade, you know, a trickle of water. The water is becoming increasingly rare around these parts.
Got some mesas and some buttes.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Mesas and buttes as far as the eye can see. Largely because you've just ridden in between them. So that's kind of what you got. As you enter it, you see a sight that's all too common, which is your deputy stopping to lend a hand. Up ahead, you see an overturned cart that your deputy is getting kind of back, just is in the process of like sliding the wheel back onto. And there's a mother and her young daughter as well. It's just like a truly, truly like worn out looking donkey pulling this cart. You see Sheriff's Deputy Moss. You wheel yourself over to the cart and kind of push it up. What do you look like in this dimension?
So I look like kind of like there were a bunch of different body plans that kind of all mixed together. So imagine that's kind of like a mix of Moss slash Juniper from Dunfeirune.
Mm-hmm.
So has Moss's like overall like kind of body, like kind of thin but athletic, very pale skin, but she's got Echo's black eyes, Juniper's hair, her arms are different. So one is like a very like large muscular, one might say troll like. And the other is like very like dexterous, and her legs are identical, but clearly quite thin. She's kind of wearing like a light brown leather like jacket and pants with kind of a like a rose colored like shirt underneath it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yes. So for us as a modern audience, or sorry, not a modern audience, but like a Dunfeirune audience, very clearly still Juniper, or Moss.
Kind
of various iterations of that. But in this realm, Moss, you were injured by a stray bullet some time ago that's left you in a bit of a state of flux.
Mm-hmm.
As we would imagine Juniper would in Dunfeirune, it's a state you rapidly adapted to, and now you're using that big old trolley arm to get this cart back up and rolling.
Oh yeah.
The mother just turns to you and just spits out this massive wad of tobacco, chewing tobacco, and she just says, "Well, I must say, I'm real glad we found you when we did, Deputy. We couldn't possibly have gotten this cart back up and rolling without you. What do we owe you?"
No, nothing.
Nothing.
What do you mean? What? This is my job.
But my job is to protect y'all.
Yeah, it's my job. I don't understand.
I'm sorry. Just you know, back where me and the little one are from in Neverwinter, even doing a job, people expect something in return. You're just doing it because you're nice?
Well, you must know at Tomb Slab, we watch each other's backs.
Well, fuck me sideways. I didn't before, but I do now. Come here, little Lucinda. Looks like we're going to Tomb Slab.
Yay. and with that, they thank you heartily, and she gets the donkey and says,
come on, hot ass, we're making new tracks!
And the donkey, just like, who's clearly been dragging this cart past Tomb Slab, it's just like full Charlie Brown shoulder slump, and just kind of like awkwardly shuffles the cart around, and the cart continues to roll. As Moss, you sort of wheel your chair around to see the sheriff returning with a prisoner in tow. And Butthole, you see, do you think you've seen Moss enough to recognize that this is her, or would you assume just a changeling?
Now it is very, I want to be clear, like it is like Juniper's hair and like Crunge's arm, Mrs. Paisley's arm, Grandpa Warwick's legs. Like
I think he's seen enough of the collected characters mm-hmm. that if it had just been Moss, he would have gone changeling, because I don't know if he could recognize Moss versus yeah. other changelings, just with a complete lack of exposure and kind of a different bone structure than
yeah.
the traditional humanoids. But I think if you're adding in all of the other characters he's interacted with at one point or another, then he might have a chance. He wouldn't be sure, but he'd...
Also, I think realistically, knowing what you do about the other dimensional stuff, the fact that it does seem that often people kind of bump into each other again, Quinny and Moss being a team doesn't strike you as incredibly strange. It actually kind of seems fitting in a weird way.
Yeah, yeah. It's got that kind of like interdimensional, like, maybe people are always friends. Yeah, so I guess we're staggering forwards. He's like, hey, wait, are you... Juniper?
Excuse me, but who told you the name of my chair?
Well, I sort of know you from another team. Okay, so first of all, hi, I'm Butthole, chained up, only wearing my underwear. Can I get some water or like a poncho? Because I'm going to get a wicked sunburn.
Quinny takes a drink from his canteen and visibly offers it to Moss first.
Well...
Like, thank you. Like, he'll hold it up, and if you want,
it's very kind. But I've got my water skin beside me here.
All right, and so then he'll motion for you to take it from him, to like come on up to his horse and take the canteen.
Oh, thank you. You know, it's one of those nice things to just have a friend like this.
And while Butthole's drinking, Quinny will take that opportunity to be like, like now that he's not able to talk, Quinny will be like, this here's Red Reggie from the Tingling Boys.
Red Reggie?
Yeah, in the flesh. I mean, I didn't quite recognize him at first either, but I figured it was because I'd never seen him in this state of undress before.
Laura, can you roll me a history check, please?
Yeah. Oh, natural one.
So as we established, Moss, you like taking care of Tomb Slab, but you didn't exactly sign up for this. I think as with a lot of the things that like the fact that a proper sheriff came to town was pretty exciting for you. You didn't get to know Sheriff Mudbutt too much before he left, but. You know, he seemed like not the most reliable sheriff, but when Sheriff Quinny arrived, you immediately kind of felt like, okay, you're in good hands. And I think a good way to think about this is like, he legitimately, because Quinny always has a plan, seems like he really fucking understands what's going on in the Old West. So I don't think you necessarily know who Red Reggie is, but if Quinny's bringing him up that way, it's like, oh yeah, like, it. I think with a natural one, you would take it as a fault in your understanding, not in...
Mm-hmm.
Anything else. And unfortunately, you don't know his list of crimes, which is quite extensive.
Yeah.
He's a notorious outlaw.
But I also like don't want to show that I don't know this in front of Red Reggie. Like I don't. Mm-hmm. So I will just go along with like, ah, yes, the notorious Red Reggie.
One and the same. I think he's been out in the sun a little too long, though. He's coming up with some rather strange stories about me himself as well. And, I guess you too. I don't think you two ever met, but he just called you on your chair.
Well, to be honest, like it is carved in the shape of Juniper. Like branches with berries on the handle.
And with that, you kind of pat the arms of your combat wheelchair, which is your means of conveyance.
Fucking combat wheelchair.
Carved in natural shapes, obviously. Mm-hmm. So should I take that to mean little metal or no metal?
It would be metal on I'm trying to think of the words of it. For like the frames and like spokes of the wheels.
Sure. Yep.
But would then be like covered in like wood to protect so the spokes couldn't get like damaged.
Cool. So like basically
it's basically like armor.
Yeah, yeah. So wood where it would make sense to be ornate and carved, and then like metal reinforcement for armor.
Totally.
Because you've got a couple upgrades on it. You have armor plating. You've got all-terrain wheels because you're in the Wild West. And
they're like this slanted wheels, so slanted down and outwards.
Right.
Stability.
If anyone's seen Murder Ball, it's like or any Olympic wheelchair sport, it's like that level, so that it is a lot more all-terrain. Great, and obviously you have pouches and all that fun stuff. What pouches. Weapons do you have? It occurs to me, I actually don't know.
I've got a maul, so it's in so it's kind of beside me on my left hand side and like kind of like sticking out of a pouch, almost like I think of like how you carry like a standard almost.
Yep great.
And then I have a gun that's like mounted, like a mounted pistol.
Awesome.
That I can like trigger
Predator shoulder gun style.
Basically on the chair, yeah, and it can like move around.
Amazing. Awesome. And I assume the maul is on the crunch arm side, right?
Yes, on the crunch arm.
Gotcha. Beautiful.
And Dexter controls for Mrs. Paisley's arm on the right for the pistol.
Amazing. Yeah. And one of the features of the combat wheelchair, which is an amazing piece of design, which obviously we'll put in the credits and everywhere else. But one of the cool things about it is it has built-in like artificer enchantments that let you work all that sort of shit off of whichever armrest you want. So I love that. Super dexterous, shoe-sting hand on the controls, and then like smacky, smacky, punch hand. Cool. Very cool. Excellent. Butthole, you've now gotten a bit more context from... Moss and Sheriff Quinney. How do you think you would interact with, other than obviously like you drink your water, you finish your sip. Well, he responds to that, Quinney and Moss, what you can figure out if you would give him a poncho or something, or what kind of clothes you'd give him so he's no longer Walter Whiting it. But Ryan, with what you've got, how do you respond?
All right, so I think I'm putting together what's going on here. So I hate to be awkward, but I'm not Reggie or whatever you keep calling me. My name's Butthole, and I'm here from another dimension. So there was a portal, and I fell through, I guess. Something hit my foot after I blew up a kraken from inside its tummy. And then I was here, and I woke up in the desert, which is why if we go back like half a day, you'll totally see that I had medieval armor, because my world's different than this. We don't have whatever that is. And he just points at Quinny's gun, or like, those hats, and that chair is cool. We don't have those, I think. I don't know. I don't travel that much, but I also travel. Like, I feel like he's just started blathering now because he's not sure. Okay, so I'm at a point. I'm not Red Reggie. Reggie. I am Butthole. I look like Reggie because he's my brother, but from another dimension. This is a different one. In other words, please don't give me to a gang.
And Quinny, like, wordlessly looks to Moss. Like basically conveying, like, did I tell you or did I fucking tell you?
We should this get this man a poncho immediately.
amazing. So, Ryan, as you continue to ramble, I think like after that, it starts to get more incoherent in the realm of like, I don't travel that much, but I do travel, but I also only travel very specifically. And actually, I haven't seen that much of the world, and the parts I have seen are usually really scary because people are like, it's just that like verbal diarrhea. Because also, I should point out, when you woke up in the desert, it's not like you just like fell out of the thing and you were there. Like, you're actually kind of there for a while, and like you've been drifting in and out of consciousness. You were very soggy when you arrived, so you had some moisture to burn off. But yeah, you're in rough shape. And I think Quinny and Moss, you can tell, like, Quinny, what do you think the term for like like left to walk alone in the desert madness is.
Yeah. What is this world's space madness?
Yes, exactly. Thank you. That's all I wanted. I just want that Steve Buscemi Armageddon space madness. As
it'd
you know.
Be folksy, right? So, sun sickness is what we'd call it.
Yeah. I like it.
So he's got the sun sickness bad.
Yeah.
I got it real bad because my mom died.
All right. Ryan, what does the poncho they give you look like? I like that we somehow within like half an hour of this game got you into a Clint Eastwood Man with No Name outfit. It really makes me so happy.
Yeah, that's what he always wore in the movies. Ripped tighty whities in a poncho.
Yeah.
Even in Gran Torino, he was like, get off my lawn. Also,
yeah, I feel like he's got a poncho. I feel like it's that same sort of like rings of color that are probably faded and kind of dirty, like red, probably like a worn green to like a yellow at its core. And I feel like it's intended to be worn in the way a poncho looks good, but he doesn't actually really know how to wear it. So instead, it's sort of tied around like you would see a granny wear a babushka. Like it's just around the head, tied in. And then it's probably short because he's very tall. So I think it ends up being like a skirt that probably wouldn't clear a high school inspection. Like it's just below the tighty whities. And you see a flash of his butt if he like bends over.
Right. Okay.
So as we pan across, we freeze frame on Moss, and in swirling script, we see the good. We pan across Quinny. We see the bad with a question mark in a bracket. And then we pan across to your ass flapping in the wind. We say, and the butthole. And when that time unfreezes and you start making your way back towards Tomb Slab. Unfortunately, these are dangerous parts. So I need all of you to please roll me a perception check.
Ooh.
Wow, wow, wow.
Ugh, 9.
22.
With my new altered stats, 12.
Great. Quinny, you're riding Juniper. Or sorry, I'm going to do this all night. I apologize.
Okay.
Moss, I would assume you would have folded your chair up and mounted a horse rather than, or would you wheel all the way back to Tomb Slab, do you think?
Or do you do that like that thing they do at the horse races where you like cart onto a horse and then go behind it in the chair?
It's actually not a bad idea, but honestly, like with a like we're not going fast enough. I'm really adept in the chair. Mm-hmm. So it's I don't think it's anything over this terrain for me to wheel myself. Yeah.
Cool. Then it's sort of you in the chair, Quinny on the horse, and Butthole still being kind of like dragged behind, but at least you have a poncho and some water. Quinny, I assume then you're on point, which also just is a fairly Quinny thing. Also, just the idea of like Quinny, mounted Quinny is funny to me because it seems like such a counterintuitive thing for his normal, like, no, I want the shadows and everything else. And it's just like, just riding a fucking horse.
Yeah.
Just like everyone else is like lower to the ground and stealthy. You're just like, fucking, I'm up here. What's up?
Tom, am I injured in any way after having had my ass kicked on my journey?
I mean, absolutely, yes. And that will be reflected by the different character sheet you're working from.
Got it. I was just trying to figure out, because I imagine he would try to like summon up his powers and cure his own wounds.
Ah, yes. Can you roll me a wisdom save, please? Or actually, no, constitution save.
Constitution save. All right. 17.
17. Okay. Despite the sun sickness, you are able to kind of shake it off enough to attempt to heal yourself. You almost feel well. First of all, describe. It's been a hot second. How do you what horrific fart magic that I hate do you use to try and heal yourself?
I feel like what happens is he focuses, and because he's in like a different position than usual. He would fart and then like a ghostly rainbow version of his underwear would float out back from him and then float up and onto his head, sort of like an underwear hat. mm-hmm. and then try to heal rain down on himself of course. With the magic.
Of course that's how it would work. How could yeah. it work any other way? I'm sorry yeah, to ask.
Me too. I don't know why you wasted all of our time.
Yeah, I'm ashamed. This will be my last day DMing.
I'm mentally adding the fact that I am forcing you to walk by having you on a lead, and so it's just each step is like as you kind of push
yeah,
it's
the sound of him recovering.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wonderful.
So that's what you attempt to do. Instead, the rainbow underwear kind of flutters out behind you, and almost like when people inexplicably tie leads to their fan, so just like blows things out. A few of the rainbows kind of flitter out and hit you in the lower back and the butt and like the upper thighs. They do heal you a little bit, bringing you up to your current HP. But unfortunately, don't get your cool rainbow hat because unlike when Quinny accidentally wished Moonhammer into existence and bereft you of her gifts, here it just feels like she's really fucking far away. And so her standard blessings seem incredibly, incredibly distant to you. So you are able to heal up a little bit. But you get the sense that it's almost like if you were trying to like cast a fireball and you just got sparks, you're disconnected by distance and perhaps other things. It doesn't feel the same as her being completely outside of your existence. It just feels very distant. For us, the sort of like players, similar to Alan's experiences in 2099, for truly. This is a godless land.
Okay. see, I love all of this. I just have an obnoxious technical question, which is knowing we're shifting to these like altered character sheets. How many spell slots do I have? Do you just want like the generic total number of spell slots I have, or do you just want to give me a number?
Currently, we're playing a GM binder 5e conversion. So the good news is this is all D&D. There's no new rules or confusing new mechanics. It's all the standard mechanics. The only difference is we're using the appropriate characters from that system for our characters here. So you'll definitely hear some different things as we go. Ryan, what this means for you is right now with magic being so far away, I'm going to say the only spell you actually have that would have slot value at this point is Cure Wounds, which I'm going to say if you focus all of your might, you can snap off once per day.
Okay.
So consider it a one done. You will note you do have a cantrip. On your sheet, yep. which is reusable, but do keep in mind you're not bereft of magic. You're just it's dulled.
That's all I've got. Yeah, that's all I got in me on like the bat. I'm at like that 2% on the phone battery. I can 100%. Do one thing, but then I got to charge.
And
all
it's also because like you had to blow a ton of magic in order to blow up the Techno Kraken. Like a lot of it's funny because for us this has been like the world's longest year since that arc happened. I suppose the war was pretty long when those happened. For us who don't have to deal with that, this has been a pretty fucking long time since we last recorded. But realistically, like it was, you know, you fully Joss Whedon TV show finale'd yourself. I think also for you then, not fully understanding that this is in fact a godless world, you would probably just take this as like, oh, I'm really hurt. Like,
yeah,
I'm kind of done. Yeah.
Fair enough. I did good. I can't get greedy. And then he'd keep walking, but be a little disappointed he doesn't have farts on his head.
Yeah, I mean the toots are still happening, but that's just nature. Quinny, you hear a telltale scuffling, and unfortunately, scuffling around these parts usually means about one of two things: A, you're gonna encounter some kind of critter that maybe you can eat later for a tasty dinner, or B, y'all are about to get ambushed. And unfortunately, in this case, it's the latter.
Hey friends, it's Ryan. I mean real Ryan, not just acting Ryan. And I am here to talk to you about something we are so excited about as a company. Dum Dums and Dice is launching its fifth weekly show. That's right. We've already got Dum Dums and Dragons, Blood and Syrup, The Mythos Mysteries, and Warhammer 40,000 The Valentine Heresy. But we are taking Curse, Code, and Crown, our second D&D 5e show, with a fully original world and fully original characters created by our players,
and Tom McGee, and it's becoming a weekly show. It's going to be out on Fridays. It's going to be an hour long. It's going to be carrying forwards on an ongoing basis. You'll have something every day of the week. If you've already listened to Curse Code and Crown, then you're going to be caught up, but all of those episodes will be available in an hourly format. If you haven't, though, there is a whole bunch of adventure awaiting you with brand new episodes starting dropping this Friday. So check out Curse Code and Crown, follow it wherever you're hearing this, and we hope you enjoy our latest adventure, all from the brain of Tom.
You have a moment to react as you see bandits beginning to kind of like do that crouch run up to the lip of the mesas on either side, the boots and mesas. What do you do?
This guy, the kind of double-edged sword of finding Red Reggie, it's like, now that we've got to protect him or else we are so fucking dead if word gets back that we've got him and we lost him. Like, he died in our care. So I take out a knife and I cut the lead on my end. So you've just got a loose length of rope that falls from my horse, butthole.
Oh, thank you.
And I am off of Goblin Jr. on my feet. And I give him a smack in the ass on my way down. So he just starts to clop off. And I just say, Moss on the left. And Moss and I have rolled together enough that she now knows too that like we're about to get into it.
Cool. I will say, Tyler, on your sheet, you'll note you have two pistols. So you've got your like good pistol and then you've got like a regular pistol.
Right.
Because based on all the Western films I've ever seen, no true gunslinger carries one gun like a fucking scrub.
Yeah.
Do you toss the other pistol or your knife to Butthole, or is that a bridge too far on the Red Reggie front?
I know Red Reggie's super dangerous, and I don't know what he's playing at right now, but if I let him get away, he's not going to get far on foot. I can just call Goblin Jr. back. That's no problem. Goblin Jr. and I have a great rapport, and we've trained a whole bunch of tricks with him and stuff like that. So I'm not worried about him escaping, but giving him a weapon seems too dangerous currently.
Gotcha. Totally fair.
But I am prepared to revisit that at any moment's notice.
Yeah, at a 2 HP left before you die's notice, yeah. You revisit it.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So as Moss, you kind of like turn to cover the left. Quinny, you turn to cover the right. Butthole, what do you do with the rope free? And you see them kind of dropping into a classic, we're about to get attacked from above pose.
I feel like he would probably turn to face to Moss's left, because if Quinny yelled Moss to your left, he would assume that's where the bad guys are coming from. So he's probably facing the same way as Moss.
Yep.
He's not entirely sure, but he has had enough military training that I feel like he'd be hands out as much as possible. I feel like he'd look like a wrestler in one of those handcuff matches. Like, he's just turned now and he's ready for something, but he doesn't know what.
Okay, fantastic. With that, you see a flash of brilliant green up on the ledge. Quinny, you recognize this as an elven gang of bandits. They are the High Leaves. A series of whistles that will be familiar to anyone else who suffered through crouching through the bushes in Last of Us 2 with me, they are clearly signaling to each other with whistles. And Quinny, you've been around enough to know that you don't necessarily know what each whistle means, but you know it probably means death. You will get one free action before we roll for initiative. Up on the ridge right now, there are two elves on the left, armed with rifles. There's one on the right who's like, she's a big, beefy motherfucker. She's got kind of those Captain America in Infinity War Wakanda gauntlets. So that are kind of like equal parts shield and like armor punch. And you can see her like barreling juggernaut style towards the rim to jump down. What do you do?
I'll shout specifically to just to anyone. I'll just shout out like, get to cover, and I will move for some coverage, but only after I try to fire off a shot at one of these elves.
Okay, great. So go ahead and roll. First roll of the game, everybody.
first attack roll.
Yeah. First my real
nat,
roll.
My nat one was the first roll. Fuck.
All right. You know, try and dig you out of a hole, Laura.
I'm, excuse me. I'm just firing Frostbite right now. Yep. That's a plus five. That's an 18 to hit.
Oh, yeah, nice. That'll definitely hit.
Okay. Well, that's pretty good. Plus three. That's 11 damage.
Ooh. So you blast the bandit just like squarely in the ribs, and you just see the and I truly want you to imagine like worst, laziest Lord of the Rings wood elf design. But if it had been in the desert for a long time, so just like, you know, that classic like green ninja garb that they're so popular with giving them. Mm-hmm. You get the green, the faded green, rapidly becomes expanding red. The elaborate series of whistles suddenly turns to like, oh geez, I'm shot. You've done some square some hot damage to this elf. We're gonna call this one the Hat Bandit. So this bandit has a particularly nice hat that I will leave vague for specific plot reasons. Hat Bandit is real fucked up. Still alive, but barely hanging on. His partner is the Bald Bandit, she's the other one with the rifle. And then we've got the Juggernaut on the other side.
Okay.
Just for ease of our description, you can hear more of them coming. This is definitely like a, you know, Stampede in the Lion King situation where like people are going to come spilling over the edge. But if you can at least take out the snipers deal with that, that'll be good. And I'm sorry, Tyler, you were firing at one of the rifle elves, correct? Or were you firing at the Juggernaut?
If you were telling me that I went right, I would fire at who's on the right side.
Okay, so you're at so you shot Hat Bandit, Juggernaut's coming up on the left.
Okay,
cool, great, good first round, sir. Laura, what does Moss do?
How far away is Juggernaut right now?
Still up on top of the mesa or the butte. I don't know what the proper term for it is, but basically, like you can see them just like coming up to the edge, and there's that moment, despite being a bit of a berserker, there's that moment of, do I leap or do I like quickly like climb down? And there's just enough hesitation that you get a free shot if you want it up on top of the ridge. Definitely out of melee range if that's what you're asking, because you guys are at the bottom.
Yeah, but in range of my pistol, yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, then let's shoot.
Excellent.
I'm going to try to not go for a kill shot.
Cool.
If I can.
I mean, there's a lot of Juggernaut to hit, so that's a reasonable thing to try for.
So, you know, I don't know, leg or something.
Sure.
Oh, yikes. That's a 10 to hit.
As you play with the targeting mechanism, the gun over your shoulder just like does that classic like target tracking piece that the Predator like shoulder cannon does, or Iron Man mm-hmm. shoulder cannon, depending on your fandom, where it's just like good shot, and you're like, I don't want to kill shot. So at the last second you tilt it down, and unfortunately in doing so it pings off the rock in front of Juggernaut, who whistles, nice shot, asshole, but to you it just sounds like whistles.
And I yell out like, next one goes in your head, that was a warning.
Hang on.
Make it till you make it.
She does not believe you.
No. Quinny from the other side is like, it's like, me giving you the heads up was the warning. Now kill him.
Butthole, what do you do?
Is there anything around that looks like cover? Because I was yelled at to go to cover.
Yeah, I mean, there's rocks around. It looks a bit like a Star Wars set. So there's just like random, presumably styrofoam rocks nearby. So yeah, you could scramble for cover if you want.
I think he was instructed to go for cover. And while he's doing that, he'll just yell at the others like, your cannons are really loud. Like, he hasn't had gunfire in any sense. It's like disturbingly loud for him. A man in a medieval era who's never heard that. Even the laser guns were
Were like cool pew, and technological. Yeah, they were pew-pew guns, not like blam-blam guns.
Yeah, so I think he's going to be injured guy who can't heal himself stumbling to hide behind rocks.
Fair enough. So you skitter in behind the rocks. What I will say is if you want to go ahead and roll me, let's go with perception, please, sir. We'll see if you can add advantage to someone else's shot, basically by like doing that classic prisoner in a Western thing where you just yell out like, on the ridge to your left.
We could just say that a giant man in his underwear with a flapping poncho is innately distracting as he runs.
Well, I guess
he accidentally runs, but instead of running to like the closest one, he manages to cross behind Moss. Like, it's an unnecessarily long run. Okay. As he gets confused.
Sure. So we'll say that rather than trying to actively help your companions, it's just a panic run that is very distracting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the world's largest grandma, hightailing it from one side to the other. I rolled a 19, so I'm imagining that might help.
Yes. Great. So I'll give the next shot disadvantage from them. Rather than giving advantage to us, I'm giving disadvantage to them.
Cool.
Cool. All right. If everyone could please roll me initiative. Oof. Bandits did not get good.
Am I using
20?
I'm a 19.
Fancy.
Am I using my initiative on my old character sheet, or am I using just my dex modifier from the new one?
Ryan and Laura, what did you guys just do?
I used, my dex is the same, so the new one?
Yeah, just go straight dex then, Tyler, please.
Okay, 14.
Okay. And I'm sorry, I'm going to need those all one more time because everyone was very excited and I missed those.
19!
19, great. Thank you. And Ryan?
Nat 20.
Woo!
Yeah, Ryan's was more exciting.
Okay. Butthole, you're up first. You got a nat 20. What do you think you would be trying to do during this combat? And if it is just like, if legitimately what you think like Butthole would do is just like duck and cover, also totally fine. I'll let you convert the nat 20 to a piece of inspiration.
Cool. I think what he would do. Yeah. I think the inspiration makes sense to me because I don't think he would do anything tremendous here. I think he would try for like a small piece of magic. Because he's got his ranged classic blue flame. So I think he would reach down between his legs while he's in cover and try to fart on his shackles as he like clangs them together to get a spark because he doesn't have anything else going for him. And he'd just be like, blue flame! But then he farts, and instead of it soaring up over him majestically, he just farts onto his hands and sparks, and it catches fire. So his hands are on fire, and he's like, oh, this isn't good. but then he realizes it's not burning him. And he goes, well, it's not bad either. then he'll just like lean down. And then I'd say what he'll do probably, Tom, realistically, is hold. And if somebody comes at him, he'll hang out.
Given that you've ignited your blue flame fists, would you try and break the shackles? Or you just trust Sheriff Quinny enough that you'll be a good boy? Because I would say with your hands on fire, I would let you roll a strength safe.
Oh yeah, let's do that then. It is stupid to try to fight in these just to be nice.
Okay. So go ahead and roll strength save, please. And you do have your point of inspiration if you'd like to use it.
Great. I'll save it. So my strength is currently -1, which means I rolled a 16.
You feel them bend as the blue flame of Moonhammer slowly begins to melt it away, just as it does a lot of first-time listeners' patience. you're not through all the way yet, but even in your weakened state, your power of flatulence is strong enough that the bindings are weakening. One more proper like hit or effort would likely break them.
Cool.
Great.
So then, yeah, he's just struggling with that. His hands are on fire and he's confused.
Excellent. Very good. Next up, Moss. The juggernaut is still barreling towards the edge. Quinny's yelling at you. What do you do? You can also delay action if you want to wait for the juggernaut to get down to melee range. That's also an option.
Yeah, I think... So the juggernaut's climbing down.
Juggernaut, because that was a surprise round, actually hasn't... She hesitated as she was coming up the lip.
Yeah.
She hasn't done anything yet. So you shot at her. She's still exactly where she was. She's either going to... Now that you're shooting at her, realistically, she's going to leap down. It was just a real... She literally looked before she leapt, which has bought you a moment.
Okay. If she's close enough, I think I would like to plan to time basically a dash and like towards her as she lands and just like ram her to knock her off her balance as she lands.
Okay, awesome. So you're going to hold action and then... Yeah. The combat wheelchair has a few ability pieces you can use, one of which is ram.
I get to ram her.
Which we've modified a little bit only because the melee attacks, unarmed melee in this mod, this Wild West mod, are stronger than standard D&D. So think of it like a bull rush. So great. So you're basically going to hold, and the minute she hits the ground, you're going to counter charge.
Yeah.
On the chair. That's badass. I love it. Okay, great. That brings us to Quinny. They rolled so badly. You guys are just getting two free rounds of hits. Got a 12 to 3.
Like dang.
Jump.
I'm going to try to finish off the one that I've hit once already.
Okay, go ahead.
One of these rifles. These rife elves.
Rife elves.
plus 5, so that's 18 to hit again, actually.
Oh, yeah, that definitely does it.
2d6 plus 3. 7 and 3, 10 damage.
That'll do it. Nice. You blast a second hole, a little bit northeast of that one, straight through the chest. The elf does the classic extra shot in a spaghetti western thing where she clutches her chest, the bald one's female, he's male, clutches his chest, and then just like falls into what would normally be a giant pillow or something as an extra. But this is real life. So just like tumbles off the side into the...
This is real life. So this elf hits the dirt.
In Wild West Faerun. Now let's let the fart fire kill someone.
Yeah.
Real life. Amazing. Good work. The hat bandit is dead. Bring us to the bald bandit who goes, "Oh no, Jerry!" She turns her rifle on you, Quinny. Did you have a move you wanted to do at the end of your... I assume you're just in like a pew-pew stance.
Yeah, I'm just firing from cover. Yeah.
Gotcha. All right, so she's going to take a shot. Unfortunately, she is distracted by naked grandma running by. Also, you're in cover, so she's got a couple disadvantages working against her. What is your AC, good sir?
It is 12, I think. Yeah, 12.
Oof. The shot pings off the rock in front of you. You get the sense that truly the poncho butt experience that just rolled by truly fucked up her aim in a fairly significant way, because I also rolled a 12 plus stuff. So good work, butthole. You did it.
Yay!
That is it for the Rife Elves, which brings us to the Juggernaut. So she is absolutely going to jump down now. So I'm going to roll athletics for her. So she does like a less than... It was going to be a hell of a leap if she just committed to it, but instead it's kind of an awkward like hop. Hops down into the gully, lands with kind of an Iron Man punch, and then kind of like does one of those like, "I'm hulking out," like roar poses, where she kind of like stands up and puffs out her chest. At which point, Moss, rubber hits the road, if there was a road or rubber involved, and you make your charge. So go ahead and roll me an attack roll, please, as you barrel towards her.
All righty. Ooh, that is a 23 to hit.
Oh, yeah, man. That hits. So your goalie's damage and knocking her.
Yeah.
No, great.
Yep. I do get to make an unarmed strike as well. So
amazing. Okay, great. So there's one hit from the chair, then you get to make one unarmed strike, and then I believe from Ram there's also a knockback. Is that correct?
Let me check.
Sure.
One moment. Ram. Da-da-da. So basically I bodily slam the chair into the target.
Nice.
If you've ever watched a game of Murder Ball, it is an alarmingly common thing, and everyone on that court is terrifying.
Terrifying. So if the attack is... Oh, I'm not using Swift. No, I'm not using that feature. But the target creature must succeed on a DC 14 strength save or be pushed back 5 feet from me.
Okay, gotcha. So go ahead and roll your damage from just the ram itself. So the first attack you rolled, do your unarmed strike, and then we'll deal with that.
That's 9.
Shit.
Yeah.
Okay. So 9 damage. So you slam into her with the chair. What does your unarmed strike look like?
So what I want to do is... I kind of like immediately after I make contact, I kind of like basically use my right arm to kind of, and my basically, okay. I wheel myself around to the right, like really quickly, and use my right arm to kind of like control basically a quick pivot and just like ram my troll arm, like fist into her face.
It's like a spinning punch.
Basically, yeah, spinning punch.
Love it. Go ahead and roll, please.
Okie dokie. And that is a 21 to hit. Damn.
Yep.
Aw, 4 damage.
4 damage?
Yeah.
Okay, and I failed the strength save. So you clock her in the jaw. You hear the jaw crack. A tooth comes flying out, and she staggers back and falls down beside a large conspicuous rock behind which is crouched one Mr. Butthole Farge. She is still up, but is looking pretty rough. Bring us to top of the round. Butthole, the juggernaut just fell over next to you. What do you do?
I mean, it looks like the juggernaut's getting their ass kicked. So I feel like he, as he is still shackled, would just run to different cover. Like, I think, again, it's just high step and grandma to further away cover. And then he would just, you know, fart on his hands again, keep that flame going, and try to just get his way out of these cuffs.
Okay. I kind of like to imagine you're doing that as you run. So it's like an awkward, like Monty Python, like tooting running dance. Rootin' tootin', if you will. Okay, so go ahead and roll your strength check. I know you're at a strength disadvantage. I'm gonna say you can roll this at 0 rather than -1 because your hands are on fire now and it's already damaged.
Cool. That is a 15.
Great. That's exactly what you needed to meet or beat. So the metal twists and bends and then finally breaks, allowing you to scoop up a nifty fucking hat as you run by that blew off of the hat bandit. Ryan, what does your hat look like?
This hat is a bright green version of the yellow hat Jim Carrey wears in The Mask. Like, it's got that same long floppy brim, the one long feather. It's like a slightly Western version. Like, we're not going full, you know, nightclub, but it's in that vein. So,
okay, great.
And it's vibrant green. So it like, it brings out the green ring and his babushka, but he can like, I feel like when he pulls back and puts that on, now he's got like, you know, a little more Western. The poncho is actually fitting correctly because it was never meant to be tied in a babushka form.
Yeah, like in order to get the hat to sit correctly, you accidentally untie the babushka and it just perfectly unfolds into what a poncho should look like.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, love it. Okay, great. So you kind of scurry into cover and duck down, bringing us to Moss, you dumped your initiative lower in the order, so that'll bring us to Quinny.
Let's start on this other rifle.
Totem elf?
Elf. Bald elf. Bald bandit.
The bald bandit. You can tell which one it is because they're the bald one.
Yes. This is going to be a 10 to hit.
Unfortunately, that will not do it. The bright sun reflecting off of her spectacularly chrome dome blinds you for a moment, and your shot goes wide. You see Butthole kind of go rushing past you, and you hear you can see the crack of his gauntlets. But at least he isn't trying to fight any of you or get away. He seems to legitimately just be scurrying to and from cover like Jackie Chan early in a movie before he gets really good at kicking everyone's ass.
Is she still distracted by Butthole's cavorting?
Yes. If he hadn't run from cover again, but he's also wearing Hat Bandit's hat now. That's Jerry's hat.
Does that mean that I have advantage?
You know what? Yeah, sure. I'll give you that.
Oh, geez. Well, thanks.
Go ahead there, Sheriff Quinny.
It's not much better. That's a 12.
Unfortunately, no dice. Oh. So you snap off another shot, but you are also distracted by this sight and your potential quarry getting away. You miss. You also get the sense that if you aren't able to wrap this up rather soon, the reinforcements will arrive and this will get a hell of a lot hairier. Bringing us to the juggernaut. She struggles up and just kind of glowers at you with a bloody, slightly toothless mouth, Moss, and says, "Good hit. Now try mine." And she's going to charge you. What's your AC?
My AC is 14.
All right, so she rushes in, takes two hits. One will hit.
I would like, if possible, I would like to use a reaction to parry, which increases my AC to 16.
Unfortunately, it won't make a difference, but nice try. Bright idea. No, like legitimately worth doing. So you're going to take 7 points of damage.
Woof.
And can you please roll me a... maybe we'll go with a constitution save as she barrels into you to see if you are knocked back.
Have we got any proficiency in this?
No, I'm just trying to figure out.
No?
No.
Okay. All righty. 20 total.
Amazing. You quickly, like your dexterous hand just like taps the brake. So she like slams into you and the wheels screech against the force of the blow. But you stay put, locked in close combat with the juggernaut. Bring us to your turn. What do you do?
I think I'm going to do another double hit because I can. So she's just hit me. So I've kind of like, I mentioned, kind of like backed off a bit. So what I want to do is basically, so I'm strapped in. So like at the waist and like on my thighs and on my shins as well. So I can like kind of move around and stay put.
Mm-hmm.
So what I want to do is kind of like turn to the left. I want to put my, like big like troll arm on the ground and basically like kick up my chair to hit her with the tire.
So like a breakdance tire strike?
Exactly. Breakdance tire strike. Love so it. It'll be one of those and then kind of like kicking back up to again punch her with the arm.
Right. So I believe one of your class abilities is you get a free if you land. Is it that you need to hit with the first attack to get a second
one? It says after making an attack, you may make a single unarmed strike as a bonus action.
Love it. Go for it.
All right. So, ooh, that's not going to hit. That's an 8 with the tire strike.
Definitely does not hit. So you swing up with the tire strike. She manages to get her shields up. So the tires like roar across that, bring you back down into, as you follow the arc through, you kind of skitter off those and swing back around down to the ground.
Okay, cool. So I'm going to try to use a momentum to pull me back. Oh, awful rolling 9.
You flubbed the landing a bit because you were thrown off by kind of sliding across the shielding. You managed to right yourself pretty quickly, but it unfortunately costs you the strike. The battle continues. Bring us to the other Rife Elf, who is taking aim at our old pal Quinny with disadvantage because of the flapping butts. That is a crit fail and a nat 20. Truly
the devil's bargain of a roll.
Alpha and Omega. That's a good time to have disadvantage.
Yes, it is.
So she lines up the shot perfectly, and it's like it's that classic, like we're looking down the scope of the rifle as she brings it around to you. Unfortunately, by rolling a one, Quinny, what the scope picks up is you spinning your gun from the hip to snap off a quick shot. Go ahead and take a shot at disadvantage.
Wow, the disadvantage, I said 16 plus 5, 21 to hit.
All right. She sees, it's that classic, like, I've got him, glint of the gun. Blast of fire. Go ahead and roll your damage.
Aw. Double ones, plus three, five damage.
Five damage. All right. You blow out the scope on her gun, and kind of the blast of glass and metal hits her face. She just drops the rifle and she says, I'll get you for this. What's your name?
Stick your head out a little further and I'll tell you.
Fool me once. Fuck off. She takes off running. You hear her just yelling, it isn't worth it. They killed Jimmy with the good hat. Oh, I mean, whistle, whistle, killed Jimmy with the good hat whistle. Just fucking run. The juggernaut is like, good lot of friends these are, eh? Raises her fist to punch you, Moss. Butthole, you're up.
I think Butthole's not cool with people randomly attacking who he assumes are his friends. So on the way over, he's yelling like, oh man, I really hope we're not the bad guys. He's just going to start punching the juggernaut with flaming fists. In the back. Punch? He's not super classy. Yeah, I think it's, just... farting on a hand, bringing it up, leaping, and Superman punching is his hope.
Work those kidneys.
Now I'm just going to imagine that's what that Roman Reigns only gets the air by farting. That's just what propels him up for fisticuffs. Go ahead and roll your attack. I'll give you advantage because she's clearly locked in combat with Moss and isn't really paying attention to you.
Cool. That is a 23 to hit.
Oh, yeah, that'll do.
All right. And that is 5 damage. I look like a hero, but I am so soft and injured.
Well, Ryan, you'll be glad to know that she looks like a badass, but she only had 5 health left. So you just start fucking like punching the kidneys. And I think despite how hurt you are, all of the pain and frustration that admittedly you didn't really get to take out on Declan, who you really wanted to, or on the Techno Kraken, just finally comes out. And I think it's not as, you know, bleak as a Forsaken moment. It's just it's a bit of an emotional release. Describe how you destroy the juggernaut.
I think it's just like, you know, Superman punch to the back of the head, probably like kidney shot, juggernaut starts to spin, probably like shot to the chest, left jab, and then just an uppercut. Like it's just old school, like boxing fisticuffs until the juggernaut goes down. But I feel like with the flaming fists, the head kind of pulps and he's like, oh, I didn't mean to do that. And then the body falls. And he's like, well, that was for my mom. And then he farts and he's like, then Moonhammer, of course, for Moonhammer. So, like, do we leave? Turns to the others, confused about what happens.
Quinny responds by blowing a piercing whistle, and around the corner comes Goblin Jr. He mounts up,
he undoes like a bunch of the slack of the rope that was tied around the pommel of the saddle.
Pommel!
That's it!
He basically says, he points to you, Butthole, and he says, you on the horse. And he throws the rope to Moss and says, hang on, Moss. And basically is going to attempt to do like a tailspin maneuver of like riding the horse and you getting like a cool like jet ski rope behind you to like...
Yeah, basically a chariot maneuver.
Yeah, ultimately. Just like wheel behind, but also like shoot as needed. And deal with our pursuers, but we're getting out of here.
Yeah, so Butthole climb on and just like arms around the waist, and he's like pretty thrilled about this whole setup because he doesn't get to ride horses very often, nor be this close to Quinny, who tends to make these things weird. so he's pleased.
And you broke out of your cuffs, right?
Yeah. I'm okay. Totally loose.
Okay.
Quinny, you feel large arms around your waist and realize the cuffs are no longer linked.
Yeah, I was just visualizing, like, do they just, like, come down over me? But they don't because they're not bound. So he just comes around, yeah?
Yep.
Listen, obviously we need to race away, and please do that. But this is a really good time. So, obviously she's not here, but have you ever heard of this goddess named Moonhammer?
And we're just galloping. And just the response is, yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's good. So let me tell you about the rest.
And with bandits chasing you, Moss firing kind of like warning shots and doing that classic like escape thing where you're like shooting people off horses and stuff. Eventually, you find yourselves free of danger and rounding the sort of dusty trail into town. And that is how the word of Moonhammer first reached Tombslap.
This episode of Dumb Dumbs and Dragons features the voices of Ryan LaPlante at The Ryan LaPlante on Twitter, Tyler Hewitt at Tyler_Hewitt on Twitter, Laura Elizabeth at EL Hamstring on Twitter, and our DM Tom McGee at McGeeTD on Twitter. This episode's sound was edited and mixed by Laura Hamstra, and Dumb Dumbs and Dragons logo is by Decapitated Markers at Decapitated Marker on Twitter. Our theme songs are And Now for That Massive Coronary and Skipping Through the Orchestra Pit Part 1 by Peter Gresser, and our ad music is No Control and Chiefs by Jazzar, JAHZZAR. All available at freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com. Our Twitter and Instagram are at dumdumdice and on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. But most importantly, we've got merchandise at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice, or you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. And tune in next week for more Dum Dums and Dragons. Dumb Dumbs and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Manicola, Long Long, The Half-Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, Charles Grams, Christopher Little, Sue One, George Dolby, One True Artistry, Orion Birchfield, Lord Abradovic, Noel Lewis, Scott Garland, Anthony Griffin, Chet Awesome Laser, Jordan Neesmith, Benjamin V, Gavin and Abby McDonald, Taryn Hefner, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.